Welcome all to the first meeting of the year. And if I could get approval for the minutes for December 18th, since none of you were here, I'll approve it myself.
They can vote.
All right, you guys can vote.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, moving right along, got resolution number 9. Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 1 of 18, a local law amending local law number 2 of 2006, and amending local law number 10 of 2008, a local law adopting an administrative code for the County of Ulster to amend the terms of office for certain Ulster County elected officials. This is a public hearing to be held on March 13, 2008.
Sorry, thanks.
Sorry. Need a motion and a second?
A motion. Make a motion for discussion.
Second.
Is there an amendment that I understand is being offered for this resolution?
Yes, there is. Does everybody have a copy?
Do you have a copy of the amendment?
Yeah. Thank you.
Jay, is that separate from this? Separate.
What are we at, number 5?
Yeah, section 5.
And we're going to be added number section 5.
Do you have a next?
Oh, yep.
How are you doing, Ken?
It's winter. Could I say something?
Yes, Joe, of course.
I didn't know if anyone had any questions about the amendment, but we added standardized, which I think took out any worry of any kind of misleadingness. I mean, once you say standardized, you're not misleading anyone and trying to slip the 4-year past. I felt good about that. I hadn't heard a lot of people even too concerned with that, but we took the extra step of that language to kind of avoid that argument, I think.
Questions on the amendment? All in favor of the amendment?
Is there a motion for the amendment or just a motion for discussion?
We need a separate motion. Sorry. Yeah.
I'll move the motion for the amendment.
I'll second.
Any questions about the amendment, section 5? One word. All in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Resolution number 9, discussion.
On the resolution, I'm going to make a motion.
I think you guys already did that. Any discussion on number 9? Joe, do you want to say anything?
Only, I had spoken to the majority of the legislature about it. If anybody had any questions here before we voted that were holding, holding them back from supporting, I'll take them. But it's pretty straightforward. I think everybody agrees. By reading it, you can see what we're trying to do and how we're doing it.
All in favor of resolution number 9?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution number 10, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 2 of 2018, local law amending local law number 591, adopting a hotel motel room occupancy tax. This is to update the tax law application to short-term vacation rentals. This is a public hearing set for March 13th.
Move for discussion.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Any discussion on this? Yes, Mr. Cornell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I want to welcome everyone to the new session. I know this is your first meeting of the year, and there's lots of members, and we look forward to working with you here.
New and improved laws and rules.
Getting a lot done this year. This is legislation that had been considered last year by the legislature, and it was held given various legal concerns. And I don't want to get into the concerns of the county attorney or legislative council, but maybe speak to a couple of the fiscal and program issues that I've been hearing about, just to put some of this information on the record. You know, I've heard lots of projections coming out of the county controller's office. We wrote the legislature on January 16th saying that we're leaving $750,000 on the table in lost revenue from short-term collection. So 2 days later, he wrote you and said that we're losing $500,000 on the table. The truth is, we currently collect $1.4 million approximately in occupancy tax. To generate an additional $500,000, that would require $25 million of additional sales. It's a 35% increase. The numbers don't bear anything out. I think the legislature might be surprised to learn that we currently collect occupancy tax on anyone who regularly offers their property for short-term rental. We do it now. So this law tends to create something that we already do.
Is that self-tax, more or less?
Yeah, well, so we have issues. So
explain how you're doing that now.
I'm happy to. So okay. First of all, so that everyone who offers their home or their residence on a short-term basis is required to pay both occupancy tax and sales tax right now. The question is this whole, you know, should we do an agreement with Airbnb? You know, and I think that, you know, I think that all of us want to make sure there's parity and equity amongst people that are renting rooms out. I know the Lodging Coalition has weighed in pretty heavily about this. And some things we should know. But first of all, there's a lot of misunderstanding about occupancy tax. The comptroller, his first foray into occupancy tax was back in 2010. He issued a report that said the county was not collecting over $2 million in revenue because of our lax enforcement of the occupancy tax. But when we analyzed that report, we found that what he was doing is he was counting people that are not required to pay the tax, such as religious organizations, not-for-profits. He was even counting some properties that aren't even in Ulster County. You know, really the only person that can tell you with certainty how much occupancy tax is being collected is the Commissioner of Finance. Under the state tax law, the commissioner has that information, and he has to hold it very close to the vest because of business discrimination issues. He can't talk about who pays the tax or whatnot. So he has the information. What the controller has missed with his estimates is a lot of people that use the Airbnb platform are currently registered with us and are paying tax, especially a lot of the high-end properties. It's a competitive thing. You know, everybody wants to get their name out, you know, in many different venues. So they're already paying the tax. Do we have some issue with people that aren't paying the tax? Absolutely. I think with any type of tax, you're going to have an issue. One of the things that we've done over the last year is we've spent a lot of time looking at the Airbnb platform. Airbnb does not provide a list. If you go on Airbnb, it doesn't tell you what the address is for the property or who owns the property. And but what we've been able to do is spend time both with our Department of Finance and our real property tax agency, which, quite frankly, is able to identify properties on Airbnb by correlating pictures and other things that are available on that system. And as we've gone that, we found that we're collecting tax from people, and those that we haven't, we've been working through the list and doing enforcement actions against those properties. In fact, the commissioner told me last week that we just got two payments. We got one person registered and paid an arrearage of about $300 last week, and then we had another person that paid about $200, which was a three-year arrearage. So again, there's revenue out there. I don't know, and I certainly can say that these huge revenue estimates that are being put out there, they're just not there. In fact, I would ask anybody to provide some evidence that those revenue estimates were correct. I know what the Commissioner of Finance has, and he's telling me they're far from truth. In fact, he uses an expression. He says the juices are worse than the squeeze. The time it takes, the staff time, and the work that we have to put in to identify these small pots of revenue, it's not these huge revenues that are being purported. Additionally, with the Airbnb agreement, first of all, this local law does not authorize the agreement with Airbnb. So everyone say this is about doing it. It doesn't author. This local law does not. This purports to require us to collect tax on people that regularly offer their homes to short-term rental. We do that right now. This does not authorize the agreement with Airbnb. But I think there's some policy considerations with regard to this Airbnb agreement that you as a legislative body should talk about. So I called over to Sullivan County, and I got a copy of the agreement that the controller brought to them, and they've endorsed and they've had for about a year. So I have a few copies to pass out to everybody.
They collect 5%.
Yeah, so there's some serious policy issues that I think we should talk about.
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
Is the county even allowed to accept third-party payment under the current state law?
That, again, I didn't want to get into the legal issues because I'm not an attorney, but the county attorney and legislative council had raised concern about that before. I know that there's various pieces of state legislation that would make that change. The governor advanced it about...
What about the other 18, 19, 20 counties in process of doing this? You also described a process in which
Chairman, can I finish my statement, please, for answering?
Joe, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thanks,
I know Heidi had a question, if you don't mind.
So, the answer is I can't speak to other counties, but the county attorney and legislative council had drawn that distinction that they're... that we may not have the authority to collect from a third-party agreement. Mm-hmm. What I want to talk about is what's in this agreement so we can put that on the record and talk about it. So I passed out a copy of the agreement. Jay has copies to provide to the legislature. It's got some really interesting things in there. I mean, one of the things that's so important to us is to bring people out of the darkness. We want to know, one, who's offering their home or their property for short-term rental, and who's paying that tax. And one of the ways you do that is you register them. And that's what the Commissioner of Finance has been doing over the past year, is doing a lot of work and identifying properties and registering them, not only for the occupancy tax, but they also owe sales tax as well, too, which, quite frankly, is a much bigger revenue item. The agreement that you're being asked to consider makes it very clear that they're not going to provide the county with a list who owns the property or what properties they are, that they're not going to provide that information to the county. In fact, we would agree that we wouldn't try to register for the hotel tax anybody that uses the Airbnb system. It's black and white in that potential agreement. Also, the agreement limits the ability of the county to audit those payments. I mean, it's shocking to me that the county controller would want to enter into an agreement that limits his ability to audit. I mean, that shocks me. Additionally, that agreement limits our ability to go after arrearage, anybody that's been offering their property, paying back taxes, and it also limits our ability to sue Airbnb in case of a dispute. I can't imagine any contract that we've entered into that would have those types of terms. So I would ask as you consider this, one, do you think that revenue is really there? What evidence have we seen? And two, why would we enter into a one-sided agreement that, potentially does not, that puts the county in jeopardy to quite frankly to level the playing field and do what's really needed is making sure that people that are renting out their property, whether you're a hotel, whether you're a bed and breakfast, or whether you're just somebody trying to make an extra dollar, that you all compete on a fair playing field. And I think that's what this whole discussion should be about.
Thank you, Joe, and then Evan.
Okay, I'm going to make a comment and then I think I'm going to need to wait for all five members of this committee to be here. If I could push this back a month for a vote, I don't know how, you'll have to tell me, this will be my first resolution that I'm requesting to push that back. But I look forward to having an honest conversation about a lot of what Mr. Cornell said here today. Doesn't jive with what I've been talking to many other counties about, what they've done. Doesn't jive with the numbers I'm seeing. He's describing a scenario which we're looking up pictures online, trying to investigate, spend those kinds of resources when we could just enact what I'm talking about here to grab all those. Instead, we actually have people working. You mentioned fairness, and I've heard that as a big argument coming out of the execs team over the last couple of years, as far as Airbnb is just one platform. It has the majority of these type of the people that are renting out their homes in this way. The majority of them use Airbnb, but not, there's other services that way. What you're doing, going one by one, researching, getting online, looking up pictures, and then trying to locate an address, and then cold call that person and hook them up, you know, get them on board. I don't know how that makes more sense than just enacting what now 20 other counties have done and making the agreement with Airbnb, then taking that time and energy and working on those second and third tier type companies that function as Airbnb. I'll let Evan speak, and then I'm gonna move to delay this till next month. I know I'm not wording that right, until we have a full body here. We'll go over everything you talked about.
Again, we have an expression we hear sometimes called trust but verify. I would love to see some actual data that nets out who I know already pays taxes. And is the juice really worth the squeeze? I mean, I think that's the question I'm going to ask.
So you're not saying there's not revenue out there, but there may not be.
As again, I know the people that we've identified and we've been able to sign up for collection. The payments are very small. In fact, again, the two we got last week, one was for a couple $100, one was for $300. And that was multiple years worth of payments in one. You have to remember, we have a 2% tax. So somebody offering their property for $100 a night a couple times a week, we're talking dollars, you know. And we do have a lot of venues in this county. I speak to a lot of the operators. They're very engaged in this issue, as they should be. It's their livelihood. For example, we have operators of really large wedding venues where they'll rent out their whole house and their barn. They're known to us. They're registered for the tax, and they pay their tax as they should.
So in addition to saying that they're, you know, agreeing that there is some revenue out there, but it's just, and that the comptroller's office also went off of a report that wasn't correct in identifying these properties?
I think what I was saying was that we have a history. I mean, the last report issued by the comptroller with regard to occupancy tax was woefully inadequate. In fact, if you can look up the headline from the Daily Freeman several years ago, where he talked about $2.3 million in lost revenue because of the shoddy enforcement by the county. The truth is, there wasn't that revenue there at all. In fact, he was using wrong information, and he wasn't taking the time to adjust out taxes that aren't collected because the people aren't required to pay the tax, such as not-for-profits and religious organizations. So again, I've seen no hard data. I saw some estimates and some emails that have no supporting information. I know that I, again, the best person to speak to is the Commissioner of Finance, and he can give you really an honest assessment. And I think the answer is that we know there's some dollars out there, but in the scope of things, they're not big dollars. And again, the Airbnb agreement, the way that this is structured, again, this is a take it or leave it agreement. We don't have the ability to negotiate it. In fact, this agreement is marked confidential. Airbnb doesn't want their business known to the public. In fact, the good news is that most government documents are confidential. They're subject to FOIA and other information. So while they want to hide this information from the public, I was able to obtain a copy and share it with you. Again, make the assessment yourself. Read the agreement and tell me if my evaluation is right or wrong. I mean, you know, do we want to limit our ability to audit? Do we want to make it so that anybody that uses an online service does not have to register, that we agree not to enforce, not to go after any arrears? What if somebody right now who's doing it the right way, they may disappear from the radar screen and just use the Airbnb if we were to go that direction? We're going to make the problem worse and not better. So, OK? And you know, there's lots of information. I know we're going to have a month to talk about it further, and we look forward to it. Again, I know that Commissioner of Finance will be at the Ways and Means Committee, and he's prepared to talk about it as well.
Oh, before Evan speaks, I'll also say just that I think it's Bonasek that has a similar piece of legislation up there right now, and it's pretty close to what I'm putting up here. So when the state does act on this, we're going to be dealing with something very similar. So everything you just said that was a lot of what you just said that was second-guessing the piece of legislation I have up is going to be upon us. Yeah. We'll be collecting the tax then. Evan, go ahead.
Just, Mr. Chairman, if I can respond to that. So what Senator Bonasek's legislation would do would clean up this concern with state law that counties don't have the ability to collect from a third-party operator. Even if the state were to collect that, I would still put out there as a policy discussion to this legislature, would you really want to enter into agreement that was very one-sided against the county's interests? Even if we had the authority, you may not want to authorize this agreement given the content that's in there. Again, I've shared it. I'd be curious to know what your thoughts are if you read it. I'd love to hear from you.
Mr. Gallo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In figures provided by Airbnb very, very recently, $16 million was generated in income for the entirety of last year. A rough projection off of that figure at 2% tax would be about $320,000 that this tax would yield. Now, regarding Mr. Cornell's statements of the registration component, there has been a piecemeal approach. And given the fact that the Commissioner of Finance has had to resort to pictures in order to match these properties is woefully inadequate. And that's why the registration component would put the onus on the operator to come out of the shadows and register with the county. That being said, regarding the agreement itself, I have been in constant contact with Airbnb Corporate, and regarding that provision that he spoke about, not allowing that registration component, they were more than happy to step aside and say that that was allowed and permissible. So operators would be allowed to come to the county and register. And that's uniform and a streamlined approach that, again, doesn't mean that the Commissioner of Finance has to resort to pictures. And also the intent there was for the county to be able to have some type of informational sharing with municipalities so that one or the other could bounce this information off of each other. There'd be a central repository with the county, but at least then the municipalities would have the ability to pick out these operators, see where they were happening, and know exactly where they were in their backyard. Regarding the third-party collections, this is currently happening in Ulster County. I believe they're called My Lodge Tax that steps into the shoes of the operator, collects, remits the tax on their behalf to Ulster County through a limited power of attorney. They help with the registration component of it as well. So that's happening right now. Also, regarding the audit authority, it is there within the agreement. What it does require is that we audit all of the receipts for that year before we get to move on to an individual operator. But by auditing the receipts, by already having the central repository of names, that becomes a little bit easier and into the light. That's about all I got.
Mr. Chairman, just we're on the record, I will put some information. So on January 16th, the controller wrote you and said there were $750,000 of revenue that were missing. On January 18th, he said there was $500,000 revenue. He told the Daily Freeman several weeks ago there was $200,000, and now the deputy controller tells us it's $320,000. Trust but verify. I'd love to see some data.
I'm not sure what that has to do with my resolution.
Okay.
Thank
and then,
you for
two, I'm not only did I produce a bona fide agreement with Sullivan County, I've spoken to many other counties. They do not receive a list of the operators or the addresses from Airbnb. If that exists in a new agreement, I'd love to see a copy of it so I can review it.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't say they did. I said that the registration component pretty much puts that aside, and that we would then have a list and a repository of all names and locations.
Have you spoken to corporate about that?
I have spoken to the other counties who have done this agreement, they are not getting a list of who's using the system, and they've agreed not to register people that are using the system. So, again, this central repository, let's see it. I'd like to see it.
Thank you. Mr. Hepner, you got your hand up?
Yeah, I just have a couple questions, especially if we're going to be having this conversation further down the line. First, in regards to what the county is currently collecting through this process, would it be available to us, or at least specifically me, before next meeting to get the current, what you currently collected from my district?
Well, first of all, here's the problem, Legislator Hepner, is that the tax law is very specific, both with sales tax and the occupancy tax. The Commissioner of Finance, because they can't give specific information about an operator and how much tax they pay because of competition amongst businesses. In fact, if he discloses that information, he could face very serious penalties. But he can speak in general terms. And again, you know, and I'm sure he'd be available to you if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm just like, can he say they've collected 20 times from my district this year?
Possibly. The biggest problem he has is he knows he's paying occupancy tax. He knows what kind of an establishment it is, but he doesn't know whether they're using the Airbnb platform or not. Again, when we've done our due diligence and been looking, again, what does anybody want to do when you're looking to maximize revenue? You sort them. You start from the ones that rent out for the highest amount of money sort to the lowest, right? Mm-hmm. And as we've gone through that analysis, we're finding that those higher value ones are already registered. In fact, we found one really interesting one where we identified it a high value property. We wrote the owner of the property, and they called us to say, I don't use Airbnb at all. Turns out that they rent the property to somebody who the owner believes that there's a family living in the house. Turns out the family is subletting it out as an Airbnb rental and making a lot of money. So again, but that gives us tools to then be able to do an enforcement. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have to be careful. That enforcement involves, you know, legal procedures. Again, how much you're really going to collect versus the amount you're going to spend to collect that revenue. And again, that's, you know, part of the discussion that I think is valid and that we've got to have on an ongoing basis.
I mean, I think that information, just very straightforward information, just some sort of number to see just how effective this process is being. And then that brings me to my next question is, so when you say, like, for example, you just had someone pay $300 and back, so essentially as you're going through this process, individuals are being charged back fees?
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's a procedure for to collect the arrears as well, too, which would be precluded from the supposed Airbnb agreement.
Because, I mean, eventually, I mean, you could have numbers far more significant than, you know, $300 and back. I just get concerned with...
Don't forget about the 2%.
It's 2% on $100 a night. You know, it's not a lot. It's really not a lot of revenue.
Well, I'm not sure how fast you're moving through this process without any numbers. So,
sure.
You know, there's been people in my community that have been Airbnb communities and short-term rentals for a good while now.
Sure.
There's people that, you know, put a lot of investment in and, you know, do rely on a significant amount of money from that revenue. Mm-hmm. As part of their livelihoods, so I'm just concerned about this, you know, kind of matching process, and then thing that person all of a sudden gets hit for back, rather than having, you know, just pushing forward with a streamlined process moving forward, and not in a sense, because a lot of people probably were never even aware they had to pay that.
Again,
I mean, in terms of public information,
public education process that's ongoing. I think that, again, let's get back to this agreement. Under this agreement, we're not going to know who the individual operators are. We're just going to receive a payment, and we get to review that payment to see if it's accurate. Like, they're not, again, it's black and white. You can read the agreement. They're not going to provide us with that information, nor are we going to require it. And, in fact, we're not going to require anybody that uses that system to formally register with us as someone who pays occupancy tax in the county.
Well, I think because, you know, my concern is, I believe with this issue, and as, you know, this technology has really grown in our communities, is, you know, the ultimate goal is to find a balance and, you know, something that works, you know, for all. So it's just really for us as, you know, the policymakers, you know, it's choosing the best system. Is, you know, is the current system we're doing right now, is it worthwhile? Is it unfairly hitting up homeowners who were, you know, didn't have that education in monies they owed? I mean, there's a lot of questions here as whether even this is the best system. And then, which brings me to my next point also, I'd be curious just what our revenue numbers are so far. You know, it's, you said, would you say through the last year you were pretty active in collecting?
Yeah, but what we've been doing, is, again, as we've gone through and identified those, we're finding that a lot of them are registered and occupancy taxpayers. They just happen to use various platforms to market and promote their businesses.
And then my last question, is it something that you guys would consider, or have you given thought of the idea, it's a concept we talked about last term, of, you know, obviously I agree that we're not talking about massive chunks of money here, but there's a lot of towns that are now dealing with, you know, trying to play catch up on this issue as well through zoning, et cetera, dealing with traffic issues, dealing with increased noise complaints, different types of, you know, things that in a small town, you know, they're always trying to keep money tight. Would you consider any type of revenue back to the towns?
Well, certainly, I think we would argue that occupancy tax revenue should be used to promote our tourism economy. That's what it's used for now. I know there's a lot of reluctance. As we talked to the players within our tourist economy, the operators, that they want to make sure that the revenue that we bring in on occupancy tax is used to promote further occupancy. However, a couple things that are interesting. So one, the County Planning Board has been providing to towns guidelines and ways that they can, you know, look to clean up and modernize their zoning and building codes to address this. Secondly, we have identified a couple of vendors that we're considering looking at that specialize in documenting operators that are using these third-party systems, not just Airbnb, but all of them, the six or seven that are popular, plus even Craigslist, and they actually go through and do analysis and provide you with a system. And actually, we've looked at the system about possibly using that as both a way to help verify information, but also giving towns access to it. So towns would be able to have lists to work from to as they do code enforcement and that type of thing. So that's something we're looking at. It wasn't super expensive, and we've interviewed probably two different vendors, and we may use that to supplement our efforts, and or, again, it might be a nice shared service that we could do and provide that access to that system for the various towns as well, too. And that's something we've talked about a couple of times.
Joe?
Mr.
Hepner, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Just a question. We're concerned about not getting this list. Couldn't we pass legislation such as we're talking about and then continue to kind of get online and look up things and make our own list while collecting all the money? Secondly, when you talk about the most, the biggest amounts of revenue going after those first in your process and putting those most, that's going to give us the most revenue up top first and contacting them first, how are you doing that? Are you just, as you're surfing the web and looking at these different advertisements, you're just taking the biggest number and calling them first?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. But again, we'll leave it to the Commissioner of Finance to go through the process. But the legislation you introduced does not authorize an agreement with Airbnb. What it does is it purportedly updates our occupancy tax law to make people required to pay tax that I'm telling you that are already included in the current law. We already collect tax from anyone who regularly offers their property on a short-term basis for rental.
This would generate no more revenue?
No, what I'm saying is we already do what your law purports to do.
And so this revenue, this legislation would enable us to collect no new revenue, is what you're saying?
Yep. So okay. What other counties have done is they do a resolution authorizing this agreement with Airbnb, which again...
Actually, I don't think a lot of these counties have done this through legislation. A lot have done it themselves.
No, we tend to take guidance from the county attorney, and when she raises legal objections, we tend to hold things. But certainly, it's the purview of the legislature if you wanted to advance something.
Sure.
You know, and certainly it's your purview to authorize the chairman to sign this agreement if that's what you chose to do. Again, I would question whether, looking at the provisions that are in this agreement, I mean, Mr. Gallo gives you the impression that the agreements don't say what I produced. I'd like to see a more updated agreement. It's my understanding this is pretty consistent for those that have entered into it. Again, it limits our ability, it limits our recourse, requires that they will not provide us a list of who's renting their properties, who's paying tax, nor are we allowed to register anybody that's using the system. And it does limit our ability to audit, because it's limited to basically numbers, not auditing the individual paying the tax. So,
thank you. I believe we have some people from the hotel lodging community. You'd state your name and...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tamara Murray. I'm the marketing and sales director for the Emerson Resort and Spa, and I'm also the co-chair of the Ulster County Lodging Coalition. I'm here with CJ Hartwell Kelly from Buttermilk Falls, and she's the co-chair also of the Lodging Coalition. And we've been following this issue for several years now, and we've looked to the New York State Hospitality and Tourism Association for counsel on this as well. And to us, it's not just an issue of collecting a bed tax from an Airbnb host. It's also an issue of regulation for health and public safety. If you're going to be collecting the tax, then to be on this level playing field, then you should also be beholden to the same types of regulation that we are beholden to. And so that's been a major concern from us. We feel that this type of like deregulation, with not collecting a tax but not requiring, not having any type of a list to be able to follow up with enforcement of regulation and requiring that from Airbnb hosts, we feel that presents a danger to guests. And you know, I also want to make it really clear too that, you know, on behalf of the Emerson and on behalf of the Lodging Coalition, we welcome tourism to Ulster County. The more the better, the more people that we're bringing in, the better. However, let's just make sure that everybody is beholden to the same types of laws, regulations, etc. We've looked to the Hospitality and Tourism Association's legal counsel as well, Jackson Lewis, who also has said the same as what we've already discussed here tonight, that local tax agreements comply payments from Airbnb for occupancy tax requirements are unlawful. Airbnb is not legally, would not legally be allowed to collect and remit occupancy taxes in New York. So any type of a tax check sent to a county would not necessarily have to be used for tourism purposes as required under the taxes collected from covered entities. So again, what we were talking about before, if we're going to be collecting this money, we would want to see that money also be used to promote tourism. But the way that this would be handled, we can't be guaranteed that that would happen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Maloney, it's...
Joseph Maloney.
Mr. Joseph Maloney. I stand corrected. My impression that you want to pull this resolution until next month?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Do we need a motion to postpone it?
Sure.
Whatever you want to do.
Whatever
you
want to do.
Kevin?
Go ahead. Make the motion.
Motion to postpone resolution number 10.
Heidi?
I'll second that.
All in favor to postpone?
Aye.
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 Moving on.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Number 11, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3 of 18, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the administrative code for the County of Ulster to establish the Department of Economic Development to be held on Tuesday, March 13, 2018.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that by myself moving it. This is just a public hearing. I will not be supporting this on the floor, though. I don't think we should be increasing our government at this time. There's nothing in the 2018 budget that would support this, you know, new department. So. But for, as far as a public hearing, I would always want the public to be heard.
So I got a second?
Second.
Aye. Any discussion? Can I, how would this impact your running the government?
Well, you know, I think I'll choose not to comment at this time, Mr. Chairman, but again, the county executive proposed a budget for 2018 that has an Office of Economic Development within the planning department. I think that's how he intends to operate the government for 2018.
Fair enough. All in favor of number 11?
Aye.
Opposed? Number 26, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 5 of 2018. That's the clarified budget modification after adoption to be held on Tuesday, March 13th, 2018.
I believe, Mr. Chairman, Legislator Donaldson, being in his absence, wanted to have this postponed until he's present.
I believe that was his wishes to me also.
And I'll make that motion to postpone it.
I'll second it.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Number 60, amending the 2018 county budget to restore funding for position of confidential secretary to the office of comptroller.
My same motion, Legislator Donaldson asked this be postponed in his absence.
And again, he expressed his wishes to me also.
I second that.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
And we have one late, approving the execution of a contract amendment causing the aggregate amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000, entered into by the County Clinton Avenue United Methodist Church Department of Social Services.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion on that?
That is the county's warming center.
Yeah, I can speak to Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Ken.
Actually, Mr. Maloney, this is actually why I'm here tonight. This resolution is extremely important. As you, many legislators know, the county operates a countywide warming center at the Clinton Avenue Methodist Church, about three blocks from here. Due to the extensive and prolonged cold weather, we need additional dollars to complete the year, so we've asked for an additional $30,000 in the contract to complete the season.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And we have new business. We have resolution 61 here. We're not going to vote on this. It'll be brought up in March. Just to let you all know, it'll be set in a public hearing on proposed local law number 6, regulating the use of single-use plastic carry-out bags.
That's also legislated on.
Yes, we were to postpone it 2 months if we're lucky.
Live from Vero Beach, Florida.
Do we have any old business? Hearing none. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.